What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It's the Backstage Report podcast in Jacksonville, but still getting you guys your content. Let's go ahead and get right into it because there's a lot to talk about. I led the week off by revealing that there are planned to be more WWE call-ups, and that goes across NXT and NXT UK, I'm told. I do know of one name specifically. It's a bit embargoed, unless I can get it from another source. But I have heard of at least one name that I'm working to get to you guys. But I have been told that there are plans for additional call-ups to Raw and SmackDown, including talent from NXT and NXT UK. As we saw, Rick Boogs on SmackDown. We weren't sure when or how many. We've just been told that NXT talent as well has been speculating about who's going to go up, who's going to stay down. A lot of poking around, so to speak, even among the talent. But we've been told that multiple have been planned or at least in the works for a while. So we'll see how that all unfolds. We also dropped some news on Eva Marie. There were a lot of people questioning what the plan is for her vignettes. The working plan is not for her to wrestle, although that is not out of the question. I had heard that she had done a little bit of in-ring training. I don't know how much, so I shouldn't really say a little bit, but I don't know if that was just something that is standard. I know in NXT, they still have a lot of the managers train and stuff like that, but I've been told that the plan is to use Eva Marie as a vehicle to get another female talent over. And the deal to bring in Eva Marie was worked on for a very long time before her vignettes even appeared and was in no way contingent, responsible, or connected to the release of Chelsea Green, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickie James, Jessamine Duke, Kavita Devi, anybody, Vanessa Bourne, anybody like that that got released. The wheels were in motion for this long before those releases. Logan Paul, he got booed heavily at WrestleMania, and WWE read the room very well by having Kevin Owens hit him with a stunner. We've heard from WWE staff that Logan Paul had been very easy to work with throughout that process, and one said that he was very excited and massively respectful to the process, while another told us that he seemed open to working with WWE again in the future and treated it appropriately. We have not heard of any specific complaints regarding Paul to any or from anyone that we've spoken to as well. But we have a few more WrestleMania stories that kind of came across in discussing over the past week or so. The two-night WrestleManias seem to be a hit, at least with talent and staff that we spoke to. Talent that Fightful heard back from enjoyed the two-night move, citing the lack of crowd exhaustion as a huge benefit. It was also speculated among talent that WWE avoiding the announcement for a certain date for 2022 has the company considering continuing a two-night method, but that is not something from WWE officials. That's from talent speculating. There were multiple staff and wrestlers that we had spoken to that said that they were vocal to management about their preference over how many nights WrestleMania should be and the schedule moving forward. Also, in discussing WrestleMania with people, I discussed the finish of WrestleMania Night 1 and Michael Cole sort of flubbing the call on Bianca Belair. I think that's the best way to put it. We had some unusual inquiries. It's a question I've been getting a lot in the DMs as opposed to on the Q&A shows where people said, was there any heat on him regarding that gaffe? And we asked immediately following the show and subsequently were told that there was no heat on him and it was very much a shit happens, that sucks type of situation. And specifically, some of the commentary woes with Adnan Virk and, quite frankly, Adnan Virk made some of the people that I spoke to say, yeah, we realize how good Michael Cole is at his job after that, and people do mess up, so no big deal. And we've heard of Cole admitting the mistake to multiple people, but nobody we've spoken to backstage has made a big deal of it and just chalked it up to accidents happening. So there you go. Speaking of Adnan Virk, he left the company in what was called a mutual departure during another round of cuts. After only 7 weeks, the partnership was terminated, and we were told the company was hoping to keep it amicable and help him save face a little bit. Both sides were very aware that the situation was not working out, and it appeared they knew that even early on, but thought they could ease him into it. But then we started to see him take more of a back seat in recent weeks. Fightful was informed by WWE staff that WWE was going to make the move regardless and had their mind made up even before the May 24th Raw and had a backup plan in order regardless. While we're on the subject of production, spoke to EC3. He said that some advice to up-and-coming young talent: get to know the cameraman, get to work with production, make friends there, they'll make you look good. But said that he had never spoken to Kevin Dunn before, actually, because he stays kind of hidden in the truck. That experience, for those of you guys who saw it, very different. I really enjoyed it. It was a different kind of watch. It featured talent from AEW, Impact, ROH, MLW, NWA, and some that participated in the WWE tryouts recently. I asked EC3 and his producer, JC, how they got all these moving parts to work, and he said that some asked to be cleared and others didn't require it. There were some hurdles over how some talent could be named and promoted, however, and what they could use to sort of make money off of and promote the show. And the filming took place back in February, well before EC3 was hospitalized with what he said was cellulitis that led to stenosis. And he confirmed to Fightful that he was not at the latest Ring of Honor tapings as they encouraged him to heal up and not be in the bubble. I got to put over Ring of Honor an awful lot lately. The last year and a half, really, since the pandemic, and even before that, from flying all the talent in and saying, what do you want to see changed, and making those changes on screen and off screen, to paying people during the pandemic, paying people they had on one-offs, taking care and making sure their talent is safe, having a safe bubble environment. You got to look at Ring of Honor and respect how they have handled a lot of their talent relations over the last year. I mean, they had the Joey Mercury thing happen. They had the Kelly Klein thing happen. Of course, the pandemic, Marty Scurll ousted. I feel like they've addressed a lot of these situations really, really well. Well, EJ and Nduka addressed the situation really well in 2019. Obviously, Drake Wirtz has been controversial in the past, and it continues to be controversial. And if you didn't listen to our interview with EJ and Nduka, the former Ezra Judge, he told the story and confirmed the story about there being a confrontation between he and Drake Wirtz. Said that he was working on putting together a ring. He was still very new to that. He wasn't even supposed to be there yet, or didn't need to be there. Not supposed to be there. But was there earlier than what he even needed to be. And Drake Wirtz spoke in a way that he felt was disrespectfully. And he said that he remembered Drake Wirtz calling him something along the lines of boy when yelling at him and instructing him to do what he had told instead of what he was working on. And Ezra Judge, EJ Nduka, said that he walked into the ring and told Drake Wirtz to never speak to him like that again. And Drake continued to yell. They went outside and spoke about it and never had a problem with it again. But that it almost got rough. And he said that when he came back in, and this is within a month of him getting signed, that talent told him he did the right thing. That Robbie Brookside, a coach at NXT, told him he did the right thing. So, yeah, you can. I would encourage you to listen to the interview. It's timestamped on YouTube.com/Fightful. And hear that story from his context. I can't represent what he said, really. And definitely can't put myself in his shoes. That's worth going out of your way to see. I actually had somebody hit me up and say that somebody was going to try to dig up dirt on me because I put that story out there. Well, good luck there, I guess. Nduka actually filmed a SmackDown commercial a couple of weeks prior to his release and said that he got to speak to Triple H and Stephanie McMahon directly for a bit during the filming. He said that Matt Bloom informed him of that opportunity as well. And we also spoke of a lot of people that helped him and coaches that worked with him. He was very particular. He wanted to make sure to credit like a dozen different people on the roster, active wrestlers who reached out to him, who helped him out, who went out of their way to make things easier for him. So he's very thankful of the opportunities that he's gotten and looks to continue to wrestle. And he clarified a few things. He said that he wants to learn and prove himself. He was surprised by the release, said that he was blindsided. As recently as the week prior, he was told by Terry Taylor that he was going to make a ton of money in wrestling. But you're starting to see that not all of these releases are creatively frustrated or anything like that. I'm sure he wishes he would have got more of an opportunity, but he's eager to get out there and work and do more again. Well, there's some other young talent that might be getting an opportunity, but Fightful learned that the NXT Evolve content did not come out quite as expected the first go-around and required a retape. We revealed details of the Evolve tapings recently, but as of now, the project is not greenlit for a full run and was still in the proof-of-concept stage. But we're told the footage, the original footage, was pretty dark, and what was able to be viewed, the wrestlers were competing in relative silence. I know for some people it'll be seen as an answer to AEW Dark, but it was actually planned well ahead of that. And we're told that Rinku Singh and Tino Sabatelli were involved in tapings, which took place the first week of May. Other taping news. Impact Wrestling. We've learned that they have already reached out to multiple WWE releases from this past April, though we have not confirmed whether or not they have firm contracts or deals in place. Last year, Impact also reached out to the Good Brothers within 15 minutes of their releases, and Brian Myers within a week of his release. Also heard of a new face that's coming into the tapings, the next set of tapings. And also, while we're on the topic of Impact tapings, a bit of an update following last week. I had mentioned that there was a match, an hour-long X Division match, which I presumed is an X Division title match. They got a lot of buzz. I'm told that is an Iron Man match, and yeah. From what I heard, I had somebody say, yeah, that was the match that David Penzer was tweeting about, saying it was one of the few best matches that he's ever seen in his career. Stadium Stampede, if you're heading there live for AEW Double or Nothing, like I am, I've been told that the Stadium Stampede will have a live element, and it will be a unique live experience. People in AEW are particular about things leaking and getting out there, but, you know, I'm glad that this made it out there, because I was a little worried. I was like, man, am I going to be sitting there in 95-degree weather, sweating my balls off, watching a screen? Wouldn't appear so. If you guys are in Jacksonville, say hey to me. Tell me where you are. Say hi. Give me a little fist bump or something. I would greatly appreciate it. We got some injury news, some inactive news. Ray Phoenix, undisclosed injury in April. Keeps him sidelined for Double or Nothing. Eddie Edwards confirmed that he underwent surgery for appendicitis on May 17th. I have no idea what his deal with the tapings were, or if he was involved or not. EC3 had been discharged. Obviously, he did an interview with me. Will Ospreay sustained a neck injury on May 4th, vacated the IWGP heavyweight title on May 20th. There's some speculation that it was not real, that it was a fake injury, so to speak, that he was going to NXT UK. I have no insight on it, any exclusive insight, but he did post his x-rays. And also, it's worth noting that in 2019, Will Ospreay himself said that he has a 5-year deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling. That would take him through 2024, or into 2024, rather. So that's all the additional information I have there. Kavita Devi, she was released, but she is able to wrestle, I'm told, that she had visa issues that had prevented her from wrestling. One that I wanted to update, Brendan Vink. He has not wrestled since May 2021, over a year. He beat Ricochet and Cedric Alexander in a tag match, then never appeared on WWE TV again after one match, I think. And he was left out of the draft pool. It's been a full year since that guy wrestled. And, of course, Adnan Virk was released from his deal, no longer working with WWE. You may have seen, we had a rumor killer in Keith Lee. There was a person on Twitter who had posted that they were working on a story about Keith Lee's release. And it started to gain a little bit of steam, and I had some people starting to tag me in it and starting to send it to me. So I reached out to the company. I reached out to talent, anybody that I could connect to, and see if we could gain more detail on that. And WWE and talent said that that was not true, that he was not released, and Mia Yim even appeared in the replies and said, I know a lot of you are worried. It's not anybody's business. We'll update people when they need to be updated. And, yeah, he's not cleared. That's about all I'll say. And even if I had firm details, that's private info, and I know there are a lot of people that are like, oh, well, you're not a real journalist if you don't report that. Cool. I'll be all right if you think that. As we wrap up, one thing that I put on Fightful Select, but then immediately reported afterwards, was that WWE and Tom Phillips have parted ways. He was with the company for 9 years and commentated on virtually every show, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK, Main Event, even Superstars, before he was released. There were a lot of people that were very sad about this, that liked his work, especially when he was left to his own devices. To let you guys understand my method of that, I'll quickly put up the news on Fightful Select, but I ideally don't want to benefit off the idea of someone getting fired or something like that. If it's somebody leaving the company of their own volition, that's one thing. I don't necessarily want to try to benefit financially for the site off of somebody's firing, if at all we can help it. But that's why we publicly posted that immediately right afterwards. But I think you guys know we've got no shortage of scoops here at FightfulSelect.com. And I want to thank you all so much for supporting us and what we do. Please continue to do so. It's the reason we're able to go to places like Jacksonville and develop more sources and get interviews and all that stuff. Can't tell you how important that is to me, that you all even care and that you all believe enough in what we're doing to plop down your $5 every month. If you don't mind, tell the world that you also don't mind doing that, because that goes a long way. Until next time, we're out.